And of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Benedict's. We're happy that you're here. And for those who are visiting us, we hope you feel at home. We're happy to have you. The priest was standing outside of the church greeting people on Easter Sunday. And obviously, he was very impressed by the crowd. But there was one young man specifically that he was concerned about because he hadn't seen him since he was a little child and he knew the family well. And so the priest said to the young man, "Hey, I haven't seen you in a while. You need to join the army of the Lord." And the young man kind of looked at the priest and said, yeah, Father, happy Easter. That's great. He says, no, you don't understand me. I'm telling you, you got to join the army of the Lord. And the young man looked again and said, yeah, happy Easter, Father, thanks. And the third time he said, No, you don't understand. I only see you here Christmas and Easter. I want you to join the army of the Lord. And the young man turned to the priest and says, you don't understand, Father. I've been in the army of the Lord for a long time. I just chose to be part of the secret service. When you look at today's gospel, there's two parts to it. And they almost look like two distinct parts, but they're connected, believe me. The first part shows us the third time that Jesus appears to the disciples after his resurrection. And there's a lot going on there, because Peter was fishing again, and some of the other disciples were fishing again. Something tells me they went back to their old ways. They went back to doing what they were doing before the Lord had called them out to come and follow him. And as they went out there to fish, they sensed a great deal of frustration because the gospel tells us they were busy at it all night and caught nothing. It wasn't until Jesus came into the picture that all of a sudden he instructed them to cast the net on the other side, and then there were so many fish. It says 153 of them, lots of them, and they were almost impossible to get into the net and bring up. All of a sudden, when Jesus appeared into the picture, there was abundance, there was providence, there was grace. All of a sudden, they had everything they needed. And I believe the first lesson for us in today's gospel is that oftentimes we too get distracted doing what we're doing. We too get into our own business, into our busyness. We get into our own thing and we forget that the risen Christ is among us. And that God is there to provide, that God is there with his grace, that God is there to give us everything we lack. There's a second thing that happens in this first part of the gospel that I want us to pay attention to. And it's this whole thing of they couldn't really recognize him. Do you hear that? They couldn't really tell who he was. Did you hear that in the gospel? They had a hard time identifying him. And this happens a lot throughout the gospels in these Easter accounts, these Easter gospels. And the reason for that is that we're seeing the glorified Jesus. The glorified Jesus, the transformed Jesus. Perhaps the last Jesus that the disciples had in their memory was the one that was beat, scourged, the one with the crown of thorns, the one that was bleeding profusely and suffering. Perhaps the last image of Jesus they remember was when he was carrying that heavy cross and they saw this suffering servant of God going to Calvary. And it was hard to see the same Jesus again, to see him now in his glorified, transformed presence. The resurrection tells us that we are a resurrection people, that we follow a resurrected Christ, a risen Christ, and that the way we see things totally changes and is transformed when we allow the risen Christ to really be among us. We see things in a new, transformed, glorious way. Jesus even ate, right? It says he ate breakfast with them. He ate with them. And by eating, he was showing precisely that Jesus was truly risen. Here he was, in the flesh. The crucified Christ who died rose from the tomb. It speaks of the resurrection as being something that totally, totally transformed and changed things, beginning with Christ and extending itself to all of us. When we believe in the risen Jesus, things have a way of being transformed and changed. And there's a new vision that we acquire with the risen Christ. They were able to see him when they opened themselves with faith to the presence of the risen Lord among them. When they were distracted with their worries, when they were distracted with their preoccupations, it was hard to see the risen Lord. But now they were able to see. Now the second part of today's gospel really does get to the heart of the humanity of Jesus. When you think about it, that's the part that most of us always struggle with. Because as Christians, we believe that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We believe that God became one like us. We believe all that. That's what we say in the creeds, and that's what we say we believe. That's what's in Scripture. But it's really hard for us. It's really hard for us to look at Jesus as one among us. Because we say, yes, God visited his people. Almost like he came down like on a spaceship, right? Like, beam him down, Scotty. Zoom, boom. Right? And God just kind of showed up. But the incarnation and Christianity, the Word made flesh, is much more than that. It's the God who took on our human condition, never stopped being divine because he became human, and never stopped being human because he was divine. Are you with me? So we've got to remember that. Jesus is not God with a human mask. That's a heresy. And that was dealt with in the first centuries of the church. Jesus is truly human and truly divine. And we must remember, when we think about Jesus, and when we pray to the Lord, that Jesus understood our human condition in every way, understood our capacity to love, understood what it meant to be hurt, understood all of those things that are part of our human condition. And that's why he asked his friend Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" Now, scripture scholars and people who know a lot more about this than I ever will, they all say that it has to do with the fact that Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Remember? Remember through the Passion? Before the cock crows, 3 times I will... You know, there's a popular joke out there, I don't know if it's true, but they say that the reason that Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law is because he knew that he would deny him 3 times. I don't know if that's true. True story is, Peter denies Jesus, and Jesus is somewhat hurt. And today we see a sign of that post-resurrection Jesus coming back with mercy, forgiveness, and love to his friend Peter, with the question, "Are you sure that you love me? Because if you love me, you have a mission. Feed my lambs. If you love me, you have a mission. And you've got to show that you love me because of the mission I've entrusted to you. And this mission that I've entrusted to you is very great, very important. You may be distracted now, doing other things. You may be worried. You may be hiding out like a few Sundays back, right? For fear of the Jews, hiding in a room somewhere, locked up for fear of the Jews, right? We hear that in the gospel. You may be here, you may be there, but do you love me? Because if you love me, you have a mission." See, the second part of today's gospel is all about this personal relationship we're called to have with the Lord. It's not just about Peter. That would make it simple. It's about the way we respond to Jesus. It's Jesus asking us, "Hey, you Peter, hey, you Mary, Hey, you, Steve. Hey, you. Do you love me? Do you love me? And does it show that you love me? Does it show with the way you live? Am I in your schedule? Are God's things, are the things of Jesus in your daily schedule? Are they a part of your life? Are the things of Jesus part of your budget? Are they there in the way that you spend money? Or the way you invest in things? Are God's things really important in such a way that it shows that they are important? Do you love me? That's the question that we ultimately have to respond to. Do you love me? See, the God that we believe in is not a faraway, distant God. He is not an antiseptic God, like a bottle of Listerine, you know, with no germs. No, he took on our human condition. He became one like us. He knows us, not from a distance, but because he became one like us. Because there was real human blood flowing through those veins. And that is the Jesus that is now risen. And that is the Jesus that we try to follow. And that is the Jesus that has a lot to teach us about giving, about love, about how we live our Christian lives. The one who gave it all on the cross, the one who rose again on the third day, so that you and I may have the risen life. Do you love me? And does it show? Or are you still part of the secret service of the Lord? In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.